This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Welcome back into the program. I'm Jen Cease, in for Matt Pauley for a few nights this week for Sports Open Line, Graybar Sports Open Line. Kyle Sixta alongside me here in the studio. Moving into our second hour, actually 40 minutes or so, we have leading up to SLU Men's Billiken Basketball taking on number 3 seed Arkansas State in the NIT tournament. That game is at 8 p.m. right here on KMOX, and pregame starts at 7:45. So we'll get out of the show about 7:40 so everything can get set up and that gets started. So stay with us for all the action. In the meantime, we continue our city conversation now. Had a great conversation with Lori Lindsay. She's a former U.S. Women's National Team player, now a game analyst for MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. She also does the NWSL. She had great thoughts on how City is going to head into Philly to take on the Union, a Union that right now is struggling a bit when they have international call-ups, don't have everybody quite available as City takes them on at Subaru Park in Philly on Saturday. However, we always know that we've had Bradley Carnell as our coach before here at City. He is a resourceful and often unpredictable coach when it comes to who he puts in rotation, often liking to shake things up. It will be interesting to see how he approaches City's game against him in his hometown against his former club. In the meantime, a few things going on with City that I wanted to update everybody on, especially as we are in Women's History Month. We've had the fortune of having some great women guests in the booth in the game that have been involved. The last game, Wendy Dillinger was not only on a pregame show, or sorry, a halftime show for City Soccer, but she was in the studio and stadium this past game talking about her achievements and her induction into the St. Louis Soccer Hall of Fame, and that was great to see. So love the fact that City is taking hold of Women's History Month, and something that they are probably currently doing right now as I speak to you. They're having a panel discussion for City SC women's staff at City headquarters. Their staffers in attendance tonight, a special panel discussion Herstory unveiled Her Story, a celebration of resilience and leadership dedicated to recognizing the strength, perseverance, and leadership of women in the community. Panelists there tonight, Joanne Kendall, City SC Ownership Group member, Leslie Gill, president of Rung for Women, and Martha Garcia Campin, president and CEO of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, who are speaking on breaking barriers, inclusion, and empowerment. That is a theme that Carolyn and Kendall and I talked a little bit about during halftime at the last game about, you know, women taking their rightful place in the game, any game, whether it's the women's side of the game or the men's side of the game, whether it's Lori Lindsay or it's Ross Smith, who we've had on, everybody who has experience in the game or a love of the game or enthusiasm for the game has many places on both sides of that, whether you're front staff or back office staff, or you're working directly with the players who are men or women in their respectful leagues, plenty of places. So it's great to see them drum up some excitement as well as inclusion with that. Speaking along those lines, if you didn't hear about it on our Y98 post game this Saturday, March 22nd, as City take on the Philadelphia Union, for Women's History Month, there's a watch party at the Mineta Pitch Club. Women fans are invited to join the club for a watch party there at Energizer Park in the Mineta Pitch Club. They catch the game. I hear they've done this before. I hear it's a great time. I've never gotten to go because I'm in the Y98 studio, usually alongside Kyle or somebody else. But it sounds like it's a great time where they have food and drinks, a caricature artist, pitch side photo opportunities. So you get to be there and you get to go and take a look at that pristine pitch and then watch the game from a great location. So if you haven't done that, tickets are on sale still and you can get a hold of them and maybe participate in the party. I hear it was a great time last year and I'm sure it's going to be a whole lot of fun this year. Well, more to come. We'll talk a little bit more City soccer before we switch gears to basketball. I was at training today and got some thoughts from head coach Olaf Melberg. That's up next on the other side of the break right here on KMOX.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Rolling on with the Gray Bar Sports Open Line, Jen Cease in for Matt Pauly tonight. Sticking one more segment with soccer, City Soccer. I feel like I get a chance to do that. I cover City as my primary duty. So when I'm in here, if I can get a little bit more in, that's awesome to talk about. I was at training today, and if you listen to the weather report coming out of news, Dave Murray wasn't kidding. It was very windy. The nice part was it wasn't cold. It was warm and it was sunny. In terms of balls, maybe soccer balls going where they should have been necessarily, the wind took them a little bit, and the wind took a lot of things on the pitch. So very windy day. along with other media members. I was there with them along the windy day, and we got to hear from Coach Olaf Melberg. Now, the first topic of interest, of course, that everybody wanted to ask about was Roman Berkey. Now, taking a look at training, all goalkeepers were doing most of the training. Roman Berkey was in training. He didn't do anything with his hands, though, so don't freak out. He's not doing anything there. He does have a fracture, but he was definitely involved in any kicking or anything it had to do delivering balls to Christian Olivares and as well as Ben Lundt taking those practices. So he was involved. In talking to Coach Olaf Melberg, he did confirm that the fracture, which is his left, I believe, hand, would keep him out for about a month or so. And I'm thinking the "or so" part could mean a little bit longer because he did talk about the fact that, you know, any return to play would be very, very cautious that, you know, small bones are in there and they take some time to heal, and maybe they don't necessarily respond well to getting after them too quickly. So they're going to take it cautious with Roman, which means Ben's going to get a few games. And we've seen Ben Lundt come into games before. We've seen him play in the Open Cup. We've seen him actually, I remember when Roman hurt his back, I believe, in a game last season. It was like maybe in the middle of the first half. It was pretty early that Ben had to jump into a game. What we haven't seen Ben be able to do, however, is get a lot of repetition. So he knows he's a backup goalkeeper. He understands that. He knows what kind of role that is. When we talked and heard Lutz talk to Tom Ackerman on Sunday, Lutz talked about the fact that he was a terrible backup goalkeeper, because one of the things you have to do in that position, unlike field players, is once you're, you know, in that role, it's you don't do very much a keeper rotation like you might rotate players. So he accepts that as his role, and he trains every day, trains really hard. And, you know, Coach was pleased with the entire defense in front of Ben as well as Ben himself.
Our overall defending has been really good and was really, really good in the last game. So we conceded very little. Credit to the guys in the way they helped Ben in that. And the few occasions they threatened in a good way. So it was a nice clean sheet for him.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And we'd have a few other player updates from the day. Thomas Totland, we know he came out of the game a little bit earlier than Coach Olaf Melberg would have pulled him out. He pulled his hamstring, saw him walking today, just walking from the training. So I'm sure he did his rehab and then came out to watch training. He's not it's not a position where City has a lot of players. They're not very deep at the right back. So his injury likely caused a need for a sub that potentially affected some sub decisions in the game. That pull of that hamstring will likely keep Totland out for a month, though. So City's going to have to look to make some adjustments there. Conrad Wallum didn't train today. We took note of that, but apparently he just has a bit of a cough. If he's like the cough that's running through my house, it's not going to last very long. And there's still going to look for him to be in the next game. So he should have availability with the Philadelphia Union. Joachim Nielsen, glad he's back training with the team. He, of course, is still working on game fitness level. So as much as the running, as you see, JGR was also doing a lot of running at training. A lot of that cardiovascular work they do in training is not the same as game fitness. It's not the same level. It's not the same intensity. So Joachim Nielsen working on his game level fitness, as well as Tomas Ostrak. We saw him get into the game. He did well. I thought for a moment he was going to have a goal. Coach Melberg talked a little bit about the fact that you could see his lack of game fitness in that first 10 minutes of Ostrak trying to find his breath. But then once he did well in his first game back. And the reason he picked him, maybe over Acelio Pompeu, due to fitting that particular midfield profile position he wanted to have. He's good on the ball. He's better in the middle of the field, in my personal opinion, than Celio Pompeu is. Celio does better on a wing, I think. So a good pick and having him come back. Now, when asked about Joao Klaus, who did not play, of course, and Simon Becher, who did not start, didn't get as many minutes as we might have been looking forward to either one of them doing, Coach Melberg was asked about his decision-making process in the front attack.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at, again, every game individually, how we can get the most out of our players and that position. We felt in this game that we could really use Sedi from start. And then in what the game looked like, we felt it was a good change with Simon. So we'll see for next game what that setup looks like and how they're doing in training and, you know, make a decision accordingly.
That's really interesting when you look back to last season, how many different center back, if you will, or back line rotations did we have with players playing. And it makes me wonder if we might have a more set back at City and a little bit more fluidity on who starts and who combines with who given the opponent. Coach Melberg talks a lot about whenever you ask him about particular players starting or playing, he will always go back to what kind of opponent we're playing and, of course, then what kind of combination of players is needed. So I don't necessarily see this as, I saw a few comments that Joao Klaus is benched. I don't think that's the case. That Simon Becher maybe doesn't have a starting role. I don't think that's the case. I think it's really given on the day. And of course, as we see City get further and further into a schedule where we get into also the heat, I think a lot of things are also going to change. Now, City traveling to Philadelphia to take on Bradley Carnell's Union. Coach was asked about planning for a potential high press with the signature, the very signature move of City's former head coach.
We have a different game plan every week and really looking at what the opponents are doing. So I already have quite a good view. Watched the game the other day and, you know, they're playing a similar style every game and I think quite similar to how he played here. So obviously they've done really well. Lost now in the last game, but started really well. So it'll be another tough challenge for us.
Now, with neither City nor Philly having particularly high possession percentages, Coach Melberg went on to talk more about how neither team is really likely having that as a concern for either of them as long as they're scoring goals. We know that that's for sure for Coach Carnell. Sounds like Coach Melberg's good with that as well. And he talked about the importance of understanding City's identity based on certain qualities.
We are not a team like San Diego or Seattle or LA Galaxy. They have a lot of players who are really, really good individually in possession. I don't think we are there as a team and we don't have to be. We have other qualities and if we continue to win games, we are happy. And I think the guys were really happy in the way we played the last game, the effort we put in and the quality we have in a lot of moves going forward. If we can get a few more of those in a game like this, four or five, maybe really, really good attacks, but we create danger. And chances if we can, you know, add to that every week. Also understanding the identity we have created and, you know, the players have created with their qualities, defending as a team and individually is, you know, an amazing effort for them. So keep building on that.
Yeah, City's certainly looking to build on not only having that solid, seemingly in some ways, a little bit of luck, but seemingly impenetrable defense, particularly in the box, and looking to build that out and then create more quality. And, it comes in terms of, he talks often about quality on the ball, not losing the ball so easily, holding the ball in possession when it's time to do that. Certainly going on the break when it's needed, when it's there, you definitely go on the break, but maybe not having that as a one-dimensional profile for St. Louis City SC. Their next game is away, of course, as we're saying, in Philadelphia. They take on the Union Saturday, March 22nd. Earlier pregame, that will be at 6 p.m. on our sister station, Y98. Stay with us. We switch over now to men's college basketball. Before we get to SLU men's basketball in the NIT, we'll talk about Mizzou's postseason in the NCAA tournament. Stay with us on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Final segment of the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Jennifer Cease filling in for Matt Pauly as we take you up to SLU men's basketball that will start pregame at 7:45. We'll get out of here about 7:40. Joining me now, very happy to welcome Mizzou basketball, Ben Arnett, sports director of KOMU News. Ben, thanks for joining me in the last segment as we take it up to another basketball team playing tonight.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, first, I know we're here to talk about the men's basketball, but since it's timely, wanted to ask you about seeing it on the news. Missouri women's basketball, Mizzou has a new leader, Kelly Harper, former head women's basketball coach at Tennessee. She'll be the new coach at Mizzou. This was just confirmed today.
Yeah, and not entirely shocking. I mean, Kelly Harper is somebody, she's got some family ties to the area. She had a great run at Missouri State five, six, 7 years ago. I've gotten to talk to her a handful of times. I do a lot of women's basketball games on SEC Network Plus and did a lot of them, especially back during the time whenever Kelly was at Missouri State, and they would play Mizzou almost every year. Biggest thing I remember about talking to her, getting ready for games, was obviously your respect for Pat Summitt. She played for Pat Summitt, was a high, high level player, national champion, honorable mention All-American, all the stuff you're used to hearing about from former Volunteers. And she's really tried to pattern a lot of her coaching, obviously, after the greatest of all time. And I think it's a, nice win for Missouri. She did well at Tennessee. That's just a really tough standard to live up to. It's a good opportunity for Missouri, I think, and they needed a change in that program.
Yeah, I was reading her profile, you know, led the Tennessee Volunteers for five seasons, got to the NCAA tournament four straight times. Definitely a great pedigree to bring into the program.
Yeah, it's just, I think a situation of in Knoxville, you know, you hang Final Four banners.
Right.
and that's, they weren't able to get to that level, but, you know, she did an excellent job, and she'll know the area too. And I think that's something that the next coach who replaced Robin Pinchon, who was there for 15 years, and Pinchon did a really good job of recruiting the state of Missouri, particularly some of the smaller nooks and crannies here and there, you know, picking up people like Morgan I, who ended up being the greatest three-point shooter in the history of the program from Montrose, Missouri, and other players from small towns. She did an okay job in St. Louis. I think they need a coach who does a better, more consistent job recruiting in St. Louis. And then also outside of the state of Missouri, when you're talking about competing with programs with some of the best coached and well-run programs in all of college basketball, LSU, South Carolina, obviously Tennessee, and some of the other places, you got to be able to recruit nationally to compete in that league.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's flip over to the men's side, because that's originally why we booked you for the show and then got that news. They've earned their postseason fate. They are earning the sixth seed in the West Regional and facing number 11th seed Drake on Thursday. That's this Thursday, March 20th. You know, overall feelings and vibes of them going in for their first postseason in the NCAA game number one, hopefully.
Well, they love that they're in Wichita. It's only about 4.5 hours. It's only about 4.5 hours from Columbia, and I would know. My wife is from Wichita, so I make that drive about three times a year. So if you're in Missouri and you're thinking about going, it's a really easy drive. Just zip over to Kansas City and down 35. But it's really tough to handicap where you expect this team to go this March. The way they've played and as deep as they are, they got a lot of different ways they can play. The way that they played against teams like Florida, who they beat on the road, Tennessee, who they almost beat on the road, Kansas obviously did not have a very KU-like year, but it's still Kansas. You're talking about one of the few programs in the country this year with three top five wins, but they really struggled down the stretch. I think they need to have a fiery game from Tamar Bates. Now, this is probably their most motivated player. He is unquestionably the leader of this team. It's his last chance. He came to Missouri closer to home. He's a Kansas City kid. He came here for this moment. He didn't get to have it last year. Last year was a disaster and an absolute nightmare for Tamar Bates in his first season with the team going 0-19 against SEC opponents. This is the time. He hasn't played well down the stretch. I'd look for a big game from Tamar Bates for Missouri against Drake. And they also need to get a big game from Mark Mitchell simply because he's the guy that a lot of stuff runs through. Didn't have him, tweaked a knee in the first round win of the SEC tournament. They end up losing in the second round in a close game with Florida without Mitchell. Unclear right now what his status is. It didn't seem incredibly serious when they were in Nashville, but that is definitely somebody that Missouri needs as they get into March Madness.
Yeah, and it's just scrolling through the schedule myself and looking at some previous, you know, upsets or at least big ones against Kansas at the time, who was ranked number one, 76-67. Scrolled down a little bit more, and the Florida Gators, that was an upset for sure. So, I mean, Mizzou certainly has the makings of a team that can go deep. However, I think it's like any sport. If you're not winning before you're going into postseason, if you're kind of, you know, on a downward trend, could that take the team and make this their one and only?
Yeah, I mean, they've really got to try to get some momentum going. I think that win over Mississippi State in the SEC tournament was incredibly important for them. Mm-hmm. They did not look like themselves at all the last 2 weeks of the regular season. Now, again, the SEC is tough, 14 teams for a record in this field. And Missouri played well against everybody. I mean, their only double-digit loss was against number one Auburn in the first conference game of the season. A lot has changed since then. I just think it's a team that needs to they will frequently play 8, 9, 10 or more guys. So finding roles was a big part of their journey this season. I think maybe some guys got away from their roles a little bit the last 2 weeks of the regular season. And if they can, everybody can kind of slide back into the things that they're best at here as they get into the tournament, things could turn around in a hurry. A lot of people will easily point to Caleb Grill, didn't shoot really well down the stretch. Caleb Grill will be the first person to tell you that for him it starts with his defense and his rebounding. He's trying to shift his focus in that direction in the postseason. Again, they need to really play through Mark Mitchell. And Anthony Robinson, the sophomore point guard, has to get back to his defensive roots without fouling. This is a kid who is the only underclassman to make the all-defensive team in the Southeastern Conference, the toughest conference in college basketball this year, but he's been fouling too much and taking himself off the floor lately. He's got to get back to defending tough without over-fouling so he can be on the court to keep that defense out there and to lead things and keep things in sync offensively.
All right, last question, I promise, and we'll let you go. I got about 45 seconds or so. Given if everything goes right, if everybody's focusing on what they're supposed to be focusing on, things do happen to click at the right time, what's the ceiling? How far do you think this team can go?
They can go to the Final Four if they play their best.
All right.
And there are multiple SEC coaches who said that this year.
Really?
It's a tough team. It starts with defense. They will battle you. They are battle-tested playing in this league. You look at the way they played against Florida and other teams this season, it's a really high ceiling, but the way they played the last couple weeks, it could be a really low floor too.
Thanks so much for your time tonight. Appreciate it. And go Mizzou Tigers. We'll be rooting for them.
All right. Anytime. Happy to be here.
Awesome. That was Ben Arnett, sports director of KOMU News, giving us his opinion on the Mizzou Tigers and how far they can go in the NCAA tournament. It sounds like if all cylinders are go and everything's clicking right, they might be able to go far, which, of course, is very exciting. It's a busy show for only an hour and 40 minutes. Thanks to all of our guests from back in the first hour, Kevin Wheeler talking Cardinals baseball, to Lori Lindsay from MLS Season Pass on Apple TV talking City Soccer, as well as having some of that audio from Coach Olaf Melberg today. Always great to have training in front of us and kind of get a sense of how the team's doing earlier in the week as they prep and get ready for, you know, a road game where they're looking to get a result. And then, of course, to wrap things up with Mizzou basketball. Good news on the women's side, getting a new coach that's proven to be time-tested, as well as Mizzou potentially having a good run in. But now, time to flip over to SLU men's basketball. The Billikens taking on Arkansas State in the first game of the NIT tournament tonight. That pregame is coming to you next, real soon on KMOX.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.